Hey there, good morning, and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zemek. I always get so excited when I start this show. It's great to be here with you on this Wednesday morning. We've got a fantastic program for you. I'll tell you more about the guests that we have and what we'll be doing after we pray. Let's kick things off as we do each morning with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us a new day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us each and every day. Father, we turn to you today. We lift up all of our intentions. Oftentimes, we start the day worried about many things. We give these problems to you. We ask you to help us. And we ask you to remind us always that you're with us, so that wherever we go today, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we are aware of your presence. We don't want to forget you today. So please help us with that. Please help us, Father, be lights shining in the darkness. Help us to be able to bring light and goodness to all those around us. Help us to remember that making the world a better place starts with us. And in order to do that, we need your grace. So we ask you to help us. We ask you, Father, to protect those who are struggling anyway today, the sick, the homebound, the homeless, those who might be imprisoned right now. Help them. Help them feel your peace and let them know that you love them. Father, we ask you to bless all of our priests, our deacons, our religious. We ask you to put an end to abortion in the world. And Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today so that your words can go forth over these airwaves of Holy Spirit Radio. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, welcome to Spirit of the Morning. My name is Gary Zemek. We are here every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on Holy Spirit Radio. We are the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. And boy, it feels so good every time I get to say that. Today on the program, we're going to be joined by Steve Boza. Steve is the director for the Office of Life and Family of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He's going to be talking a little bit about what the Archdiocese is doing for the March for Life, which is an annual event that the Archdiocese really, really puts a lot of support into. So Steve's going to fill us in on what's going on there and in general about what his office does. Also, our friend Father Thomas Daly will be back once again to continue our discussion on his book, Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness, from Sophia Institute Press. Before I go any further, I just want to say hello to all of you who may have been at my talk last night at Mary, Mother of the Redeemer Parish. It was a great time. We got a great turnout. It's so cool to know that we have so many listeners. So thank you. If you came up to me and said you are a listener, it's so cool to know you're there. And keep spreading the word about Spirit in the Morning. We are absolutely different. We're a one-of-a-kind program. Nobody in the Catholic universe is doing what we're doing, playing the top Christian hits, plus the top Catholic guests, plus featuring Dave Parker. No other show is doing that. So, Dave Parker, are you there, my brother?
I am, Gary. Good morning. Now, hey, what kind words?
Hey, man, you're looking good today. Now, I am not in the studio again. We're doing this via Skype, but I see Dave, and I wasn't, and you are looking pretty dapper today, brother.
Thank you. So, you as well, Gary.
Well, I dressed up for you.
7:04 a.m. Hey, this is our work. We're starting our day, you know, and delivering the good news of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And Dave, you know, I was speaking at MMR Parish in North Wales last night. Got to talk to so many listeners who said, I love the show. I love the interaction between you guys. Mm-hmm. I love the up-tempo music. I love the inspiration. We're getting the job
Praise
done,
God.
Bro.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all him. It's not us.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit. Well, thank you for listening. And was it well attended?
It was. We got a great turnout. And some people were concerned that the snow might be an issue. But mm-hmm. The snow held off. And the snow's not even a big factor right now. So,
yeah,
you know, we didn't know how this clipper was going to turn out. I'll do the weather in a few minutes. But sure. Everything worked out perfectly.
Well, I'm glad to hear that at MMR you had a great program. Which I know you always bring it, brother.
I try my best, man. I ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to say? And I turn it over to him and let him do the heavy lifting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Gary.
Hey, Dave, before I forget, let's take a look at the weather report, and then we'll talk about some other things. Mm-hmm. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 34 degrees with some light snow falling. And here's what you can expect today. Snow before noon, then a slight chance of snow showers between noon and 1 p.m. We're going to have a high near 32 degrees. The daytime snow accumulation is less than a half of an inch. So not a big deal, but you got to be careful.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We don't want to go crazy.
Yes.
Tonight, mostly clear, low around 18. Thursday, sunny with a high near 36. At the moment in Lansdale, 32. In Hatfield, also 32. And over in Gap, PA, it is 27 degrees.
I love that
so
name.
Dave,
Gap.
Isn't that
good? Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Gap listeners.
Yeah, that's right, because WCOJ reaches out to Gap and all areas of Lancaster County. So it's an incredible blessing to reach so many different people with
Absolutely.
The show. Dave, I am doing the show from home today. I didn't get to go out yet. Did you have any problems driving this morning?
Around my home down in Fairless Hills, it was just raining and drizzling, and it wasn't freezing. So as I trekked north and I got to the Newtown Bypass and some back roads, they were kind of slick. I got the 413 just put out. For anyone who's in that area and is going to soon go out, 413 is well maintained. It's it's salted, and I was going about 40, 45, a nice steady, not a lot of traffic. So it's still slick out there. But 413 all the way to Doylestown was nice.
I must say,
if I can give that little traffic report, thank you.
Very good. Well, no, it's important because, we were all hyped up because of the snow. We heard a lot about this storm.
We're getting spun up, weren't we? oh, no, another one.
I try not to fall into this trap each time, but once they start with, it could be this, it could be that, it could be 10 inches, it could be nothing, I start to panic a little bit. But fortunately.
I was going to say, did you do the bread, milk, eggs run, as I call it?
I did not.
Okay, I didn't either.
What's unfortunate is I'm always the guy that really needs bread on the night before the snowstorm. This has happened so many times.
Right.
And I get mad at all the other people, and I say, you don't really need it. You're just getting this because you're supposed to when it snows.
That's what I mean. It becomes a habit, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Go for it, Gear. Whatever
right,
next.
Let's talk about the gospel. We have a little bit more time. Let's talk about the gospel. Interestingly enough, Dave, this gospel passage from Daily Mass today is something that I touched on in my From Fear to Faith talk last night at Mary Mother of the Redeemer. So let's take a look at this. We today go to Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and the hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death.
Wow.
Oh, boy, Dave Parker, those Pharisees, no matter what Jesus does, no matter what he does that's good, they're looking for some angle.
Yes, they're
to
lying
trip
in
up,
wait.
Right?
Yeah, every single time they're lying in wait. And we're going to get that guy.
That's right. He healed that man. He healed that man who was crippled from birth, but he did it on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
I mean, they're totally missing the miracle.
And
the other thing that I think is so, that just jumps off the page at me with this gospel is the fact that this man has a withered hand. So he can't really use the hand. But what can he do? And Jesus says to him, "Come up here," so he can walk. So Jesus asked the man, "Okay, do what you can. Walk up to me." And then he also said, "Stretch out your hand." The man was able to do that.
Wow.
And then Jesus performed the miracle. So when I hear this message, what I get out of this is the Lord is more than willing to do the heavy lifting to perform the miracles. But he expects us, Dave, to do what little we can.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. He wants us to cooperate.
We have our part in it. Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes we can start to fall victim to the line of thinking that, well, I'm just going to turn everything over to God and do nothing.
Yes.
But he doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to depend on him, mm-hmm. but he also wants us to do what we can.
Absolutely. Right? It's a two-way street. Yes, I mean, we just don't want to... Sometimes we think, go on automatic pilot and let him take the wheel, take the con, and all that, and just let him do everything. That is not how it works, folks. We have our part.
Right.
Our growth and our journey towards eternity with him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it sounds so simple. And this is what we're going to be talking to Father Thomas Daly about later in the program, this whole idea of the Salesian spirituality, living the day well. Mm-hmm. We ask the Lord for the grace to do a good job in whatever we're called to do, but he expects us to cooperate with that grace. Mm-hmm. So just because I'm dealing with a challenging person and I'm really annoyed at this person, God's going to give me the grace, if I ask for it, to be nice to that person, but I still have to follow through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I might say, well, I feel like I could be nice to Dave Parker, but you know what? He annoys me today, so I'm going to really let him out. But, you know, so it's
absolutely.
Sorry, I always use you as part of my example.
No, that's okay. I mean, we have a Dave Parker in our lives everywhere, you know? I mean, it may not be a Dave Parker, but it's, you know, that same thing. Well, I want to be welcoming, but not really, you know? And
exactly.
It's a struggle sometimes.
Exactly.
It's easy for me. I am Dave Parker.
Come back. Steve Bosa. We're going to be talking about the March for Life. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 17th. Today we celebrate Saint Anthony of Egypt. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor. Those words from the Gospel of Saint Mark so spoke to today's saint that he gave away his large inheritance at age 20 following the deaths of his parents. Anthony of Egypt went on to spend most of his life in solitude. For a dozen or so years, he lived in empty tombs in a cemetery not far from his village. Anthony's contribution to the church was the witness of solitary asceticism, personal mortification, and prayer. It was a life that attracted others who were drawn to Anthony for spiritual healing and guidance. The Emperor Constantine wrote to him asking for prayers. At age 54, Anthony responded to requests and founded a monastery of scattered hermits' cells. He founded a second monastery on the Nile River. At age 88, he was giving his considerable energy to fighting the Arian heresy. Anthony was well suited to his life of solitude and prayer. Celebrated in the East as the first master of the desert, he died at age 105. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Life is Precious by Wes King. My name is Gary Zimek. What a great message. Life is precious. All life is precious. And that's one of the big messages that we try to deliver to you every day on Spirit in the Morning. Life is precious. Life is beautiful. We are joined now by Steve Boza, who is the director for the Office of Life and Family with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We're glad to have him on. We're going to be talking about the archdiocesan effort regarding the March for Life. Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
If you could, my friend, tell us a little bit about the work that your office does and specifically the effort that's being put forth for the annual March for Life.
Well, my office is a conglomerate of Respect Life Ministries and Family Life Ministries. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to put aside the family life for now and
sure.
talk a little bit about what we're doing in pro-life. And so Respect Life for us is the full gamut of life issues. It's the we have very good alliances with many of the pro-life organizations here in the Archdiocese. I'm a one-man show, and so in order for me to do anything, I have to have good allies. And so, you know, we partner with the Pro-Life Union. We partner with Pennsylvania for Human Life, who goes into our schools to give pro-life presentations. We partner with Terry Schiavo's organizations to bring the perspective of end of life. I personally have worked with Catholic Distance University to bring bioethics into the equation here. We've we have about 20 deacons in the Archdiocese that have been trained and certified to teach or to give presentations about end of life issues and even beginning of life issues. We also, in the family life side, are partnering with a couple league to be able to bring the message of natural family planning and you know, the needs that we would have as married couples to space our births and do it in a morally legitimate way. So we span the gamut. In terms of our efforts for the March for Life, it's been consistent over the times that I've been with the Archdiocese that we have roughly 3,500 people come for either just the March or the March or the Archbishop's Mass. That has been going on for many, many years at the 10 o'clock over at the cathedral down there.
Right.
So,
right.
So it's been a great joy to see the amount of students that are going to be coming. We just worked it out so that some of our schools were able to get a few more buses to go down. I know there's Shanahan's got about 4 buses going down, and Bonner Prendy's got about 3. And so, you know, we do what we can to support them, to try to find the funding and to get everybody out there. And one of the two things that we do, or one of the things that we do twice a year, I should say, is provide a pro-life gathering of high school students over at Newman University, who's been very, very helpful to us. And they've been just a joy to work with. And so we have upwards of 300 people, kids, come twice a year in April and in October to hear a good pro-life message. I mean, we had Chris Stefanik down and, you know, some people who have been involved with, there was one woman who came, her last name is Gaffney. She's a Down syndrome woman who's been so accomplished. And she was just so accomplished and the kids just loved her. So we try to bring the message and raise up a new generation of leaders, and we do what we can.
And that's, you know what I love about this message, that we have so many young people who are pro-life. And I keep hearing that our youth, they are very much pro-life. Is that your impression as well?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, and what's doing it, really, is today, you know, moms who are pregnant will have an ultrasound of their child in the womb, and it's on the refrigerator, and the kids get to see it almost every day. You know, this is my baby brother, or my baby sister, and so they see the child develop. And no matter what the propaganda is out there, you can't you can't take away the fact that they're seeing with their own eyes that this is a baby.
Right.
And so that's been our greatest weapon against abortion, besides the rosary, obviously, but
yeah.
from a temporal level, ultrasound has done everything.
What would you say, Steve, to the person who is maybe on the fence with the March for Life? Because I know a lot of people have said, I've met people in the past who say, well, you know, I kind of want to do it, or it's not really that important if I participate. Even we're just a few days away from it. What would you say to that person who might be considering going?
My very blunt, if you will, assessment with that would be, hey, you have to come and see the energy. Mm-hmm. You haven't lived until you've seen the energy.
Right.
What always impresses me is that, and we go back to the young people, there's about 75% of all marchers are, you know, young adults or adolescents. Mm-hmm. And they do what adolescents and young adults do, you know, make the noise, play the instruments, and, you know, do the chants. And it's just a wonderful sight to see. You know, and also, you know, when you hear people on the mainstream media say, oh, they only go because they get a day off from work, that's nonsense.
Right.
It's not because they're getting a day off from school. They're going because they really believe this. And so, it's something to see. Even if you experience it just once, it's something to experience.
Totally agree. Now, before we go, we have about 3 minutes left in our segment. You mentioned that you're a one-man show, which is very impressive. I mean, you must be a busy guy. How long have you been doing your job, right? I mean, a one-man show, that's difficult. You are the Office for Life and Family of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
Well, I'm the only paid person. You know, as I said, we have alliances with many, many pro-life groups. And these people do things, and they've been doing them for many years. They're very good at doing them. You know, I can't, you know, organize the pregnancy care centers, mm-hmm. but, you know, the Pro-Life Union does that. And they're my right-hand people to be able to do what I can't do. You know, we farm out the some of the education that we do in our high schools to the Pennsylvanians for Human Life. You know, we have another right hand of mine is the Catholic Medical Association. We've done a tremendous amount of work together. The National Catholic Bioethics Center sits on my leadership team. We have the Culture Project that helps us with so many outreaches that we have to our high school kids. So it's just a family, you know.
Right.
One of the things that we do here is partner with our Catholic Social Service team,
mm-hmm.
who's been tremendous with us. They have in fact given us the use of one of their counselors to build our Project Rachel ministry. And so, you know, Stella Bug works with me and with Catholic Social Services. And as a team, you know, we're reaching out to Post Abortive Women and Men, you know, to bring healing. Because that's a part of the message it's not missing, but it's
right.
not emphasized. It's not emphasized as much.
Exactly. Very important part of the message. I totally agree. Steve, we are just about out of time. We have about 30 seconds left. Can you remind our listeners where they can find out more about your office online?
Yes, it's PhillyCatholicLife.org.
PhillyCatholicLife.org. I'm gonna put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com just to make things simpler. Steve Bozo, I want to thank you for joining us today on the program. God bless you for the great work that you do. Keep it up, my friend.
Thank you. Keep praying for us.
We will do that. Make sure you check out Steve's website, the website for the Archdiocesan Office for Life. We're going to have a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com to make it easier for you. It's PhillyCatholicLife.org. We are getting ready to take a break, and we thank you for joining us on the program today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
are, or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
To Spirit in the Morning. We're having some technical difficulties. So I just wanted to say, this is Dave Parker, and we're waiting for Gary to come back. So that song, let me get back to that song here. And that was Word of Life by Jeremy Camp. So right now we're, Father Daly is, Gary is back with us. Okay.
How you doing, brother?
Hi, Gary.
We got our connection back?
Yeah, we have our connection back.
All right, very good. Sorry about that little technical glitch here on Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zemeck. Thank you for tuning into the program. The time right now is 7:34. We are joined by our friend Father Thomas Daly. Now, he's the author of the book, Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness from Sophia Institute Press. Father Daly, how are you today?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
Always good, my friend, when you are with us. I need help, Father. Can you help me today?
Well, those glitches are part of living each day well. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Father, I love the book, and I love the fact that the title implies that this is a simple approach to holiness. Not necessarily an easy approach, right, but a simple one. You and I have talked about this before. Don't you think sometimes we overcomplicate this whole idea of holiness and how to live it out?
Well, yes. The short answer is yes. I think we complicate it because, you know, we think it's such a profound thing, and it is, and such an important thing, and it is. So because it's such a big deal, it must be complex.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. It's not. And I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the key to this whole process is to, it reminds me of today's gospel, actually, the man with the withered hand, and Christ said to him, come up here and then stretch out your hand. He expects us to do something. He's going to do the miracles. He's going to do the heavy lifting, but he expects us to do our part. And I think oftentimes we're trying to become holy all by ourselves without depending on his grace.
Absolutely. You know, our part is essential. We're free human beings. Freedom is absolutely essential. The decisions of our will, Francis de Sales would say that's where we turn the affect of love into an effective practice. We have to do our part, but it's certainly not only us and not primarily us.
Father, if you could, talk a little bit about the direction of intention.
Well, there you go. It fits right in. For Francis de Sales, he understood, I think, that, you know, on the one hand, human beings are free and we make decisions, but on the other hand, so much of life is beyond our control. The circumstances of life, the snow that's coming down today, the technical glitches on your radio program, some of these things are just, you know, beyond our control. So the one thing that is in our control is our intentioning. You know, what is it we want to do? What is it we're trying to do? What is it we desire to do? Every single thing that we actually do, every one of our actions, begins with our intention. What am I going for? What am I trying? Mm-hmm. So essentially what he's saying is, by way of a little prayer, if we can direct that intention, if we can line it up with our wanting to love God and please God and do God's will, if we intend God's will in this thing that I'm about to do during my day, then now that thing that I'm going to do here in the midst of my day becomes prayerful because I've given it to God.
And you know, one of the benefits of your book and the discussions that we've been having in my own life is I am becoming more aware of the need to do this. You know, in the past, there have been so many times where I'm faced with a challenge or a situation or something that I have to get done at work. And I go into it and I'm anxious and I'm thinking, I hope I get this done. I hope this works out. And then after it's finished, I would have said to myself, why didn't I say a prayer? You know, I forgot that. But I think the more you do this, the more habitual it becomes. And you remember before these actions to offer up that prayer and to ask for that grace to be able to do the job well, whatever it may be.
Exactly. And he counsels, readers and those who want to grow in the spiritual life to offer this little prayer. And it's a, 8-second prayer. It's not that complicated. Mm. But to offer it before every single thing that we do, even the things that are natural and normal and pleasing and if you think about it, that's a challenge. That's where the effort comes in, to say this before every single thing. But I think that the pedagogical reason he does that is precisely to create that habit of intending everything I do for the love of God.
You know, Father, you bring up a good point. I'm gonna ask you, and this may sound silly, but are we even talking about a simple act like brushing our teeth? I mean, everything that we do?
Theoretically, yes.
Whoa.
Again, in terms of sort of training ourselves to do this, you know, the more we can do it, the better. Now, practically speaking, the various things on my to-do list for the day, that those would be the occasions to say this prayer. Each time I get in the car to go somewhere, you know, the point pedagogically is to try to create this pattern or habit where I offer the things of my day to God, even the routine kinds of things.
Yeah, and that is that's something that I would say most people don't do. You get in the car, you turn on the radio, you're not thinking about where you're going, you're not thinking about how that act can draw you closer to the Lord or whatever. I think it's really, really great that you're bringing up that point. I want to ask you about something you say in your book. Holiness begins with the grace of God, but it also calls for the free act of human cooperation. We touched on that a few minutes ago, but if you could, Father, how do you know where you've done the best you can? And it's time to turn it over to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, I did my part, and now it's your part. Because a lot of us, we're control freaks, and we want to just take over God's responsibility as well as our own.
Well, and this comes back to what Francis de Sales is talking about, excuse me, in terms of your intention. The best I can do is all that I can do, or flip that around. The only thing that I can do, all that I can do, is the best that I can do.
Okay.
You know, I to give you an example from a classroom, you know, students. You know, I want to do better on the test. Well, you can only do what you can do. You study, you learn, you do your part, and then the test is what the test is. You know, and you've done the best you can. You can't do any more than the best you can. So if I've put my effort into it, if I've intended this for the love of God, then no matter what the results are, and here's where his spiritual genius comes in, no matter what the results are, if I've intended it for the love of God, then I've done it as well as I can.
Wow, that's a deep statement. No matter what the results are, if our intention is good, then we really are doing what we are supposed to do. Right.
If our intention is good, and you know, and I've done what I'm supposed to do and what I can. I mean, I can't go into taking a test in the classroom and say, well, I intend this for God, but I never studied. that's not
right. Right. So yeah, I mean, that would be great if that worked that way.
Exactly.
But you know, so all right. How about this? If somebody is trying to discern how to solve a problem in their life, and they ask the Holy Spirit, come help me, inspire me. Okay, today, there's nothing I can do. Lord, I turn it over to you. Now, what about if it's an ongoing problem? You're trying to find a solution to something. Do we just let it go at that point? Or is this, and I think I know what the answer is this an everyday process? All right, I tried today. I said, all right, Lord, is there anything you want me to do? No, I'm not getting anything tomorrow. Do I ask again? You know, is it an ongoing process so that the Lord will eventually say, all right, now 30 days into this thing, Gary, I'm giving you something I want to do. Is this something we do repeatedly?
Well, certainly the openness to what God wants us to do is repeated and continual. So depending on what the issue is, if it's something I face every day, then I intend to deal with it every day. If it's something that, you know, I can leave it into God's hands, then I do. But if it comes up during the day, then I deal with it. It's not a, what do I want to say? It's not a sort of pre-programmable kind of approach. But certainly, you know, I want to do my part and offer to do my part, but I also stay open to the grace of God and ask for God's help.
Right, right. And I mean, that really is a daily process. We want to have that connection with the Lord every day and make sure that we're in a relationship, in a good relationship with him through prayer, so that we know if he is speaking to us, so that we're able to hear what he has to say.
Right, and this is, again, his genius. This direction of intention is asking for God's help, right? Step one is sort of asking for God's help, which immediately puts it into the bigger context.
Uh-huh.
It's not just my effort that makes life work. I ask for God's help. I offer up whatever good I can do. That's my prayer. Mm-hmm. And I accept this coming from God's fatherly, providential hand, whatever the results are, because they're beyond my control. That kind of three-step process, right? Asking, offering, accepting. That, when I can create that habit and that mentality in all the things that I do, then the working out of my day becomes a continual prayer.
Wow. You know, Father, we have about a minute left, and I want to make sure I leave time for you to leave us with a blessing. But I just want to say that's a simple message, but it is absolutely life-changing.
It is, and it's simple. It's obviously simple for me to say. It's a little more complex to do. You know, it does take practice. But that's our life. And again, the genius is I don't have to do something additional or in addition to all my daily responsibilities. But I turn my daily responsibilities and tasks into this constant awareness of and attention to God.
I love it. The book is Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness from Sophia Institute Press. I'll make sure I put a link on the website, spiritinthemorning.com, so you can purchase the book. Father, can you leave us with a 10-second blessing, if you would?
Certainly. May God bless all that you do today and all that happens to you today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Thomas Daly, it's always a pleasure, my friend, having you on the program. I have to keep having you back on because I'm getting better at this Living Today Well stuff, but I still need your help.
I'm happy to join you, Gary.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Father Thomas Daly. Live Today Well is the book. We will be right back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. It's not easy to wrap our heads around the belief that God wants us to live lives grounded in faith and joy when we're carrying heavy burdens. That's an idea that singer-songwriter Sarah Hart addresses in her song, Joy in These Bones. During an interview, Sarah told me that all of us are broken in some way, but once we believe in the joy of Christ and the resurrection, once we adhere our souls to that belief, it can't be taken away from us. Sarah concluded, "Happiness and contentment maybe are circumstantial things, but joy itself is not. Joy is born of the knowledge that God has sacrificed everything for us, even himself, to prove his love for us, and we are that love. That is the essence of Christian joy." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
The song of Asian believers. sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation,
welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was He Reigns by Newsboys. And by the Newsboys, it's an oldie but goodie. Boy, it gets you going, doesn't it? He Reigns. Think about that as you go through the day today. No matter what happens, the Lord is in charge. He reigns. All right, it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today, we are going, and by the way, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Matthew Kelly and the folks at Dynamic Catholic. If you're on their mailing list and you're getting your daily reflections, last week and again this week, they've been featuring comments from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. So I'm really excited about that. That's where we're going to go today to get this Bible verse for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse, Exodus 14:13. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again." In other words, the Lord is telling the Israelites who are escaping from slavery, they're on the run from the Egyptians, he's telling them, trust me. Dave Parker, they are two words that are not easy to accept, even
absolutely,
if they're coming from God. Right,
I know,
Dave?
I know. Like,
how many times does
I got
he
your
say
back.
That to us, though?
I know, he says, yeah. I have your back.
No, Lord, this is not going to work. This is crazy.
Trust me,
Gary, right?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely, the, brother.
Dave Parker, those important words that we see underneath the divine mercy image, Jesus, I trust in you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dave,
how
the
beautiful
more
is
you,
that? Yeah.
The more you say those words, even if you don't feel them, Mm-hmm. The more you say those words, the more you begin to trust.
Absolutely.
And it's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it kind of, well, going back to what Father Daly said, it's like everything you do, you can say, you know, you give it to God, and you can use it by, hey, Jesus, I trust in you. In a short little phrase, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, you do what you can, and that's one of the points he was making. And that's why I love having him on the show, because it's an important message, but it's a difficult one to accept sometimes. You do what you can, and then at that point you say, okay, Lord, I trust you with the rest. And for people like me who are basically control freaks, I like to be in charge, that's difficult to relinquish that control. Even to the Lord. You know, Dave, you're a military guy.
Mm-hmm.
That word surrender is not in your vocabulary, but that's what it takes
to
have a good relationship with the Lord, surrender to his will.
Exactly. And it's a different context, though. But, when it's the Lord Almighty, it's a totally different context. I mean, that's when we become free, when we can find that way to surrender to him. It takes a big leap of faith to step out, right? And say,
right,
Lord, I trust in you no matter what. And then, wanting to control things, you know, but I'll plan for this, this, and this just in case. He's saying, no, just give it to me totally, right?
Exactly. And he's got a great history of coming through in the clutch.
Oh, yeah.
And
he sure
pretty
does.
Good. He's pretty good at this God thing. You know, he's had a lot of practice. And,
I've heard that.
right? I mean, seriously, you look at that Be Not Afraid Bible verse from the book of Exodus. The Israelites, they were led out of slavery. And he said, come on, guys, you're going to come with me. Those Egyptians, they're after you, but you're not going to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard for them to believe because they were scared. They were afraid. They were still working out their trust in the Lord. And I think that's something we all do. We learn to trust him more each day.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I would hate to have been an Egyptian in their shoes or their sandals, as it were. You know, I mean, just knowing that the Lord said that, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, he's going to deal with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with us. He deals with the problems in our lives if we just turn them over to him, do our best, and then let him do the rest. Dave, before we go off the air today, I want to point out tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Bobby Schindler.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bobby's a regular guest on the program. Mm-hmm. Also, Jason Collette, who is the founder of a new service. It's a new service called The Good News. It's a daily positive source of news from a Catholic perspective, delivered right to your inbox. Really, really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday is going to be our big March for Life show. It's a compilation show featuring Teresa Tomeo, featuring Father Frank Pavone, featuring Jeannie Mancini. We're going to get some of the heavyweight pro-life all-stars on that Friday program to commemorate the March for Life.
Beautiful, beautiful. Absolutely. Looking forward to it here, and I'm looking forward to this new news service.
Yeah,
it
you should
so
sign
uplifting.
Up for it. It's a great. I have it delivered to my inbox every day. You got the daily mass readings. You got news sources. I mean, and you get put in touch with what's going on in the world from a Catholic perspective.
Exactly.
So, really
stay
cool
tuned,
stuff.
Folks. Stay tuned.
That's right.
That.
We'll have more for that, and I will be back in the studio tomorrow, Dave Parker. It'll
yes,
be good
looking
to see
forward
you
to it
in person.
Yeah.
Again. And,
you look good on Skype, brother, you know?
Hey, I look even better in person, bro.
No,
what do you
sure
think?
Do. You sure do. Here we go.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on the program today. Remember, wherever you go, the Lord is with you.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating